Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are moving along to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, which says, "But you, O men of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness." And the things that Paul is telling Timothy to flee from have to do with the wrong use of and perceptions of money, the love of money being the root of all kinds of evil, as he said in verse 10. So putting it all in context, putting these two verses together, that's what it is that Timothy is supposed to flee. And that is exactly what we are supposed to flee, namely a love of money. So we'll talk more about it. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, July 13 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And how can I possibly thank enough those who help us financially maintain this program on this station? Well, we started out on the broadcast yesterday talking about two wrong attitudes towards money. And the first one is to love it, desire it, pursue it, covet it, make it your God. The very things that are covered in verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. But there is a second danger that is not really dealt with in this passage, but I think I need to mention it in passing, and that is to overreact against it. Some people do that. Some people, it's always that way. Every truth in the Bible, there's a ditch on either side of the truth. And so if we're talking about money, if the ditch on one side of the road, of the proper biblical use of money and the perceptions that we ought to have toward money, if the ditch on one side of the road is to love it, to hoard it, to fail to give it, to be selfish with it, on the other side of the road, there's a ditch that treats all money as if it's dirty and overreacts against it. And this can happen for a number of reasons. I've seen it happen sometimes in people who are embarrassed because they have suddenly received some undeserved wealth, and they really don't know how to handle it properly. They've never been used to having money. They've never really been trained in a proper use of money and proper attitudes towards money. They probably have had, before this unexpected windfall came into their lives, they probably had a wrong viewpoint toward money in that they did disdain those who had it and had negative thoughts about it. And sometimes people like this go all to pieces. They are embarrassed because they suddenly have become wealthy, and they become one of those people that they used to criticize. If they were one of the people who used to have bad thoughts of anybody who had money, considered anybody with money to be evil, and to have acquired their money in an illegal, underhanded, shady way, and some people are like that, and then suddenly, out of the blue, they get some kind of unexpected windfall, and they become one of those people, then what do they do now? The very attitudes they use to direct towards wealthy people, they figure all of their friends and relatives are now directing toward them, and that really throws them into a tizzy. But that doesn't happen very often. Usually the overreaction against money that I observe is simply the one I've already described in trying to explain what happens to people who are embarrassed because of undeserved wealth. And that is the kind of people who just resent everybody who has money as if there's something inherently wrong with money. They have a disdain for wealthy people. It may be that you've had one or more bad experiences with people who have had money. Which of us haven't? It's true. Many wealthy people are cruel, are covetous, are unjust, have earned money by cheating others and by abusing their employees and so forth. And so you've probably had a bad experience with people like that. And now you have transferred your hostility toward a few individuals to everyone that fits in that same class, namely wealthy people. We are told that this is a way oftentimes that racial hatred and prejudices develop. Somebody has a bad experience with a person of another race, and maybe more than one. It can happen. We're all sinners. You know, a lot of the problems that people have had with somebody of another race are actually the same kind of problems that we often have with people of the same race. Have you never had a fight with anybody the same color you are? Have you never had an uncomfortable, a bad experience? Have you never been bullied by somebody of the same race that you are? Have you never had anybody of your own race that taunted you and called you names? I wonder where you were. I know those things happened to me as I was growing up. But somehow, if it happens from somebody of a different race, it's very easy to then transfer your hostility toward everybody of that color, everybody of that race. It's not really a logical response. It's an emotional response, but it's easy to do, and we can understand how that could happen. When it happens to you with somebody of your own race, you tend to view it as an individual thing. You don't see that as being characteristic of everybody of that race because that's you. You belong to that race, and you don't see yourself that way. And you don't see your family and friends that way. So you see this as a few bad apples. But when it is somebody of a different race, it's easy for you to forget common sense, to fail to use logic, to react emotionally, maybe to pick up some bad attitudes of people around you, and just transfer your feelings of frustration and hostility toward everybody that is in that same race. Well, that's what happens in racial matters. Sometimes the same thing happens in class matters. You see, economic classes are classes of people, just like races are classes of people. And it may be that you've had some bad experiences with people who've had money, and so now you have transferred your hostility toward everybody of the wealthier class. Not good. Not smart. Not correct. Not logical. And certainly not godly. But that's what happens. So, there are people who overreact against money. I've seen people who have acquired money, who came from a pretty low economic class background, and they acquired money. So they really work hard to give the impression that they don't have much money. That's the impression they want people to have because, again, they come from a background where nearly everybody had these feelings of hostility toward people of wealth, and here you've got wealth one way or another. Maybe you just happen to find out that you have a knack for business, and you have and some people do. Some people, it seems like everything they do turns into money. They have a knack. They have a gift. They can make money. They can make money without trying. Other people are trying and trying and trying, just can't seem to succeed. And there's some people who just, everything they do seems to turn into money. It seems to be a gift that God has given to certain people. Well, that's kind of an embarrassment if you, in your poorer days, were critical of everybody who had money, and you come from a family in a neighborhood, in a class of people, a community that is critical of everybody who has money, and suddenly you have it. So it's easy to react against it. I think I described on the broadcast a few days ago, a friend of mine, very, very, very successful and wealthy man, but who drives an old economy car, I mean 12, 15-year-old economy car, and wears clothes that I would be embarrassed to wear, frankly. And that's in his case, since I know him well enough to know that he's not trying to hide his wealth necessarily. He just is one of these people who is not interested in impressing others and for whom clothes and cars really don't mean anything. The fact of the matter is, I didn't tell you about this man, though the car he normally drives is a 15-year-old economy car. He also has another one at home that's a luxury car. It's not particularly new. It was new when he bought it, but because he doesn't drive it very much, doesn't have that many miles on it, so it's in pristine condition, even though it's several years old. So he does have a really nice luxury car to drive when he wants to take a trip or when he needs to take several people with him. He needs a little bit bigger car, one that's more comfortable. And he has taken my wife and I places in that comfortable car. But most of the time, he just drives this old economy car, gets good gas mileage, and he's just not interested in impressing people. But I've known other people who fit this category that I was describing that came from a low economic class background. And by the way, this friend I was describing it a moment ago did not come from that kind of background, but have come from a real lower class blue collar background and just seemed to have a knack for making money. And it really did embarrass them. So they would drive old cars and old trucks and dress in blue jeans and flannel shirts and not wear any jewelry. And I kind of like that. I'm not a big fan of men wearing gold necklaces and big fancy rings. In fact, I'm not a fan of anybody doing that, though I don't mind a little bit of nice jewelry on women. Personal taste and preference has nothing to do with anything spiritual here at all. But they just are not wanting people to have the same negative attitudes toward them that they used to have about people like them. Isn't it strange? When your attitudes are wrong, when they're unbiblical, they tend to haunt you. They tend to trap you. They tend to follow you and trip you up somewhere down the road. So, either way, the two wrong attitudes toward money is either to love it over much or to disdain it over much. And neither one of those things is right. So what do you do? Well, follow the instructions that we have in 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, O man of God, flee these things, that is the love of money, covetousness, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. That's what you need to do. Flee materialism and pursue spiritual qualities. Pursue Christ-likeness. Pursue spiritual fruit in your life. Put that in its place. If you get those things in place, if you concentrate on that, you will know how to handle money and to have right attitudes toward money, whether you have little of it or a lot of it. Because that's not really the issue. The issue isn't how much you have or don't have. The issue is, how do you view it? What is your attitude toward it? How does it affect you? Does it control you? That's what is really important, and that's what you need to avoid. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.